As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Knicks and the Pistons and the playoff series that starts tomorrow. Thank God we are finally here. The way you feel about the draft and most people feel about the draft, thank God it's finally here. That's the way I feel about the playoffs. I have been, you know, last regular season with the Knicks, I felt like I was more locked into that regular season than I ever was. Mm-hmm. This one felt different. I got bored by the games. The Knicks looked like they were bored. Even Wally Szczerbiak said it. That they looked like they were just waiting for the playoffs and were bored by the regular season. It's the first time in a very long time, and maybe ever, that we have watched a Knicks team be so good that they get bored by the regular season. And they won more games than they did last year. Doesn't feel like it, but they did. So finally to get to see them in the playoffs, I am thrilled for that. And I am a little bit nervous about the fact that the Pistons, you know, they've got nothing to lose. The franchise hasn't been there in a long time. The games in Detroit should be very loud and intense. And Cade Cunningham could be maybe this year's Trae Young. And they could out-rebound the Knicks. But the Knicks are so much more talented. You know, it's not going to be a sweep. It could be 5. I'm picking the Knicks in 6. But it's not even like how they finish the series or how many games they finish if they win. It's how they look in the games. Are we going to get something? Are we going to watch a version of this team that we can believe, if they move on, can compete with the Celtics? And I'll be looking every single possession, offensive and defensively. I'm going to be looking at this with a microscope, hoping that they give this fan base and all of us some more hope.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the Knicks were a victim of their own success this year. And it felt, in a lot of ways, like the Yankee fan has felt. Like, yeah, the season, hey, let's just get to October. You got 162 games to get through, and you've got to get to where you need to be first. The Knicks, we've known all along, all season long, we have known they were a playoff team, and we knew they were a top half in the Eastern Conference team. It was just how high could they climb. I knew the Cavaliers would be good. I didn't think the Cavaliers were going to win 65 games. We knew the Celtics would be good. And so the Knicks are right there as that 3 team in the East. A couple of things about them, I think. Number one, I think you probably feel a little better had they not struggled so much with the Cavaliers, the Celtics, the Thunder, teams like that. I do think that's a factor. In terms of this series, I expect them to win this series in 5 games. I think they are the better team. They've been here before. The one thing that would concern me, if anything would concern, well, 2 things, I guess. A, the way and how tough Detroit plays, I would be concerned for a next round matchup with likely Boston, how beat up they are. But 2, in terms of this series, like the Pistons went really far really quickly in terms of their win total from last year and how much they've improved. What would concern me is they don't know what they don't know. Like, this team could just be walking in like, let's go get the Knicks, not realizing they're going to walk into a hornet's nest in Madison Square Garden, and they might be oblivious to it because they're a bunch of young kids. They really are. It's a young group for the most part. Other than that, though, the Knicks are the better team, and I really expect them to take care of business in this first round relatively quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who the people around Karl-Anthony Towns are, the people that are close in his life or his friends in the league or whoever on the coaching staff he vibes with the most, but as someone who knows New York basketball, whether it's, you know, Rick Brunson or John Starks who's at all the games or, you know, even Stephon Marbury, somebody that's been around, Larry Johnson, needs to get through to him and say that, all right, your reputation is this, whether you like it or not, whether it's true or not. That's your reputation. Mm-hmm. And the Knicks traded for you to be the missing piece of them to win a championship, the first one in a very long time. You got to dominate, man. Your entire legacy, who you are, the way that people think about you, it's all ahead of you. And if you're going, you know, a couple of 40-point playoff games and 13-rebound games with it, and the Knicks are winning games, I mean, he could. We don't talk about him enough, which is the problem. We should be talking about him all the time. He should be the best player on the team, the best player on the court, like, hands down.
Well, guess who's going to get talked about a lot now? Because him. I agree with you. The Knicks fan's been bored. The Knicks fan is going to be highly engaged now. And if Karl-Anthony Towns doesn't play up to his standards or up to his capability, he is going to be lit on fire on the airwaves. He just is. And whether it's right or wrong, I don't know. But he is going to come under the spotlight now more so than he has been all season long. The other thing that I look at with this series, which is where he should benefit, and it should be a little different. I know he had Anthony Edwards. He's had good players with him. Don't get me wrong. Jalen Brunson last year, you could make the case, really until he got hurt, was the best player in the playoffs. It was 40-point game after 40-point game. It was remarkable what he was doing. And as he got more and more injured, you could see he wasn't himself. He is fully healthy going into this playoff run right now. If you get anything close to that version of Jalen Brunson from last season, along with Karl-Anthony Towns playing with some sort of a chip on his shoulder, this, and I'm not disrespecting the rest of the team because it takes all the win, right, Jay? But
yeah,
those two in and of itself should be enough for them to win this series if you get what I think you're going to get from them.
Just that we've seen fewer of those Jalen Brunson games this year, and I know he missed some time than we did last year, and it's also like he's got to defer a little bit. So, that, you know, there's, if you remember when Kevin Durant went to the Warriors and they ended up winning those back-to-back championships, like Steph Curry's role changed.
It did.
Like, he wasn't, like, he had a lot of like 16-point games, you know, more assists, whatever.
He put winning first.
And he adjusted. And it just doesn't feel like that has happened with those two yet.
Yeah, it's interesting. See, I feel like when Brunson was healthy, I actually did feel like he did, because there were a lot of those 15, 16, less than 20-point games where Towns was lighting up the score sheet. I actually felt like it was working. And there were parts of this season where I think you saw what they could be.
Yeah.
It kind of, whether they were bored, whether they were banged up. I mean, this is really the first time you're seeing the Knicks fully healthy.
Yeah. I guess, you know, it felt, and we're comparing them to a dynasty, which is not fair. But I guess the thing that I'm trying to get at, because you're right, there have been games where Brunson's numbers are down and Towns is up, and whatever. But it doesn't feel connected as much as what I saw back then with that superstar team. It's almost like, okay, it's a Towns night, it's a Brunson night, Brunson's off, it's a Towns night, Towns is off, it's a Brunson night. It never felt like, it just hasn't felt connected. There's just been something off the entire year.
I don't disagree with that. That's probably very true, but part of that is they changed the complexion of the team.
Yeah.
And it does take time, and they didn't have all their pieces. You know, what this week of practice did, I have no idea. I don't. But I do know they don't practice much during the season. They just don't. There's a lot of walkthroughs, there's film, but they're not on the floor practicing. From what I understand, a lot of practice this week. Maybe it's what they needed to kind of become connected. I'm not sure. But I do think personnel-wise, they have the better personnel top to bottom, and they are finally what they envisioned to be when they put this team together.
All right, let's get some calls in on this Feel Good Friday, 888-808-1019. Bobby is in Manhattan. What's going on, Bobby?
Hey, how are you guys? Good morning.
Good morning, Bobby.
All right, so quick question. So I'm a big Rangers and Knicks fan, and for the past more or less decade, it's been the Rangers in April and May that's been fired up the entire city. You know, guys leave work early on a Tuesday, go to the bars, go drinking. You know, the whole city's fired up behind the Rangers. Last year, we were blessed that we had both the teams rolling. My question is, do you think if it's just the Knicks, which it is, Well, the Cities have the same energy as it has the past, 10 years.
Are they winning? Yes.
Listen, if the Knicks wipe out the Pistons and then start competing with the Celtics, the city's going to be on fire. I mean, there's no two ways about it.
The same as we are with the Rangers going, though?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, there's going to be more if two teams are playing and it's every night at the Garden and it's like, all right, the Knicks are on the road and then the Rangers are here or vice versa. There's going to be more juice with them playing, both of them playing, I mean, just for obvious reasons. But there is no way, Bobby, that if the Knicks are...
Advancing.
Like if they somehow sweep the Pistons and we're all fired up and then they get in this battle with the Celtics, like no one around Madison Square Garden is going to be like, man, I wish the Rangers were playing.
No. So here's a good question for you in terms of this group. Last year, when this team was winning playoff games, the fans were taking to the streets of Madison Square Garden. And I mean, in droves, they were singing in harmony. I mean, they were all into it. I do agree. This team doesn't have that feel. And I don't feel like the fans, until they prove that they're that team, I don't think you're going to see that again until maybe a big win over the Celtics. So it will be a little different, I think. I could be wrong. I just don't think Saturday night at 9 o'clock, if they beat the Pistons 121-105, that the fans are going to be chanting in the streets about the Knicks. I don't.
The fan base doesn't love this team like it loved it last year. I'm not saying that they don't like it, but it doesn't... It's not the same love affair.
It's different.
Like, okay, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, yes, you love those guys. I think OG Anunoby is kind of going up the charts a little bit there as well, but it's not the same. Like, it's just not.
I agree. Until they get deeper into the postseason. If you ended up with a game seven against the Celtics and they wound up winning that game to advance to the conference finals, I think everything gets taken up tenfold from that point.
They asked him yesterday, Tibbs, they did, whether or not he would play both Mitchell Robinson and Karl Anthony Towns at the same time.
What'd he say?
He said, it's intriguing. I think it's something along the lines, it's intriguing. We'll see. You know, Mitch is getting better. You know, his timing is better now. He's, he's playing more. I don't know. Just, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and there could be a chance, and I don't think that Tibbs all of a sudden turned into a coach who can't coach. I think that what happened was that the front office and Tibbs, who probably has a lot of influence in what happens with the roster, came up with a roster that doesn't fit his coaching style.
And well, which is amazing to me because, wouldn't Leon Rose go to Tom Thibodeau and say, look, we can get Karl Anthony Towns. You had him in Minnesota. You got fired. Do you want the guy?
Yeah.
Wouldn't he say yeah?
And he probably did. And probably like, I'll get him to play better defense. We'll get him in here. We'll do the thing. New York and grit and everything that we had last year. No problem. Just like every other coach in the world thinks that they can fix the player that's got all the talent. And it's really not a talent thing with Cat. It's certainly not a passion thing or an effort thing. He just might be the bridesmaid, He just might be that guy. And guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who have done it already, they're not. And you might get the same thing out of Donovan Mitchell, too, in the postseason. Might get the same type of thing.
So let me ask you this, and be honest with your answer. They're not going to lose to Detroit. I don't believe they're going to lose to Detroit. I think they're going to win in five.
Okay.
All right. So, but if the unthinkable happens, and somehow, because they got to play the games, they end up losing it because this whatever locker room thing that's going on there. What happens next year?
Well, I mean, I think that it ends up being Tibbs first because it's going to be very hard to change the players at this point. And this is something that, I think because of all the moves the Knicks made in a short amount of time, everybody assumes that if this doesn't work, they'll be able to make those moves again. No, they don't have any assets anymore. They don't have any first-round picks anymore. They traded them all away. Are you going to be able to swing some sort of deal? You're like, oh, so Karl Anthony Towns fails here, let's say. You're going to get rid of him after 1 year with that salary and trade him to where for what?
So what do you think this team is going to be essentially featuring the same players for the next 3 to 4 years?
I think you have to, and I think that was the plan. And unfortunately, and I'll say this again because I really don't like sitting here and talking about Tibbs getting fired because he's a great coach. He was a part of this turnaround. I love the guy. I will always have a sweet spot for him for being the coach that got this team back to relevancy. But there may be a roster on his hands that he can't fix. And then there just so happens to be a guy with New York roots, Knicks roots, won a championship a couple years ago, who's available. whose time ran out somewhere else.
Oof.
I mean,
that was not pretty, what happened in Denver.
Yeah, and
it was not pretty.
But it was there for a while. You know, it was great for a while.
Yeah, but, you know, GM, coach, like this, players, organization having to take sides. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's tough.
It's the ego part of it.
Yeah. But, I mean, that coach like that isn't just around all the time.
You know, and you know, you hear stuff about Spoelstra in Miami, and maybe that's finally running out, and, you know, is that something? Could he come up to the Knicks? I mean, it's going to take something like that. I mean, and that's, you know, with Phil Jackson, you know, there were the times where he would come in and there'd be a group that wasn't getting over the hump, and then he would get them over the hump. And people would say the same things about, you know, the Shaq and Kobe Lakers before Phil got there, and they weren't getting the job done. And, you know, Jordan would only get to a certain point, and then he, you know, all of a sudden turned into the greatest thing we'd ever seen in all the championships. So maybe it's one of those things with this team. Maybe that ends up being what it
Well,
what
this it team is. Doesn't have Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but
sorry about that.
I understand, but
yeah.
The point, we know that. But Michael Jordan wasn't Michael Jordan until the right coach got there.
But I will say that Josh and Jalen are two guys that have that competitive gene in them. Both those guys have it. I think OG has it. You know, I feel like I trust those three guys in particular to basically take it to another level. And look, OG 2 weeks ago was talking about how he should be Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know what that's all about.
Well, it's what he thinks.
I understand. So you got Mikal Bridges, who, you know, is talking about playing time, wants to keep his streak going. You got one player talking about he should be Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, like, what? When are we all on the same page here defensively as a team?
They haven't been the entire season.
That's the thing that scares me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm scared too, but I'm scared by one of the best teams in the league, in the Celtics. I'm not necessarily scared of this first round series, but they'll get bullied around and lose a couple games. Let's go to Matt in Middletown. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, fellas, how are you guys?
Good, Matt. What's up?
So, I love the Knicks talk, and the positivity, but, you know, the Knicks went 1-3 against the Pistons this year, and so I don't know, guys. I'm not as confident, you know, in this series. I know, Gio, you were saying best in six, and I agree with that, but I don't know, man. I think it might be a toss up. Like, how do we go 1-3 against these guys?
Yeah, I mean, and I'd have to go back and look at the circumstances in every one of those games. You know, who was available? Was it when the last time they played him? Was Jalen Brunson playing? Was there a rest night for some of these guys? I don't remember every one of those single games that they played against the Pistons, and quite frankly, it's not going to matter, just like it's not going to matter what happened in the regular season between the Knicks and the Celtics, we hope, if they face each other in the second round. They're a better team top to bottom. They've got a great young player in Cade Cunningham. They are tough. They're going to stick it to the Knicks physically, which is annoying to me because the Knicks were doing that to teams last year, and it's going to be annoying for a couple of games. They're going to lose a couple of games. I don't think they're going to be in any jeopardy of actually losing the series. But and maybe it's the here's your glass half full. Maybe this series with the Pistons, we're going to throw everything at them. They haven't been in the playoffs in years. The fan base is going to be crazy. They're physical. They rebound. They're tough. They play great defense. Maybe that's the exact thing that wakes this Knicks team up and said, we have to play tougher if we're going to, you know, it's sort of some, like, you know, patsy three-point shooting loser team that they could have in the first round, like the Hawks a couple years ago, where they ended up losing the series. But still, that's not who the Pistons are.
There are serious, serious expectations when they made the trade with Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges. And, you know, they decided that, you know, they were going to keep Mitchell Robinson and he was going to come back in the second half of the season and the game was going to change, or they were going to change. And we did not see it. And then this thing comes out with Wally, and then, of course, you have the whole thing with the Tibbs and Bridges about playtime, and then, I don't know, there's just a lot of weird stuff, and this is why this is Jalen Brunson's team. He and Josh Hart are the ones that have the heart that were here last year that we were rooting like hell for, and unfortunately, they all got hurt. This year, they should come back, and they should be ready to rock and roll. I mean, they should come right out of this gate on Saturday night, just like Wally said in that newspaper article. Lay the hammer down.
Yeah.
You gotta like let this team know that we're the better team. We are the better team. We have the better players.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see a 30-point win.
I'd love to see 430-point wins straight away and say, you know what? I want to see a different team in the playoffs because we've been talking about this for months.
Yeah, I know.
I want to see a team that is that has that fire. As if I take a line from Walt Frazier, that fire and desire, baby.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
Well, just make sure you stay away from them between now and Saturday. You don't want to give any of the players the flu going into the series against the Pistons. So just make sure that you're far away from Westchester and their practice facility and the garden. Just don't get too close to them because we're going to need everybody healthy.
After many months of knowing that the Knicks were going to go to the postseason and many weeks knowing that they were going to be the 3 seed most likely, we officially have the matchup. The Knicks and the Pistons, round one, Saturday. 6 o'clock will be game one. And, of course, none of these series are going to be easy. But, you know, this Pistons team reminds me of the first Knicks team that made it to the playoffs with Julius Randle and Tom Thibodeau, where it had been a while since they made the playoffs. You know, very, very tough, outworking guys, you know, just having that exuberance because they hadn't been there, a fan base that had seen a lot of good basketball being reinvigorated. I mean, that's what it feels like to me. And that team obviously ran into a more talented team with Trae Young at the time that went to the conference finals. So I expect a similar situation here. I do like the Knicks in six. I don't believe that it's going to be scary. I don't think it's going to get to that point where we have a game seven. But the Pistons are going to win some games. They're going to push around the Knicks. It's going to be physical. They've got absolutely nothing to lose. And they've got, you know, a budding superstar in Cade Cunningham. But, you know, I'm really, really curious to see what team we get when this series starts. Do we get a different defensive team? Do we get a better three-point defending team? Or are we just going to get the same team we've been watching in the regular season?
Well, so the Pistons beat the Knicks 3 games to one in the 4 games that they played this regular season. And the Pistons are a team that, if I had to guess, I would think, obviously, they probably don't believe that they're the underdog, but they're going to be told that they're the underdog.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the chip on their shoulder that they're going to bring to the series. There's no question about it. So for us, as Knicks fans, this is what we've been waiting for. This is now the moment in time where, you know, you've played an entire season together. You're pretty much healthy all across the board. And this is the team that they put together thinking that they could challenge the Celtics, let alone who knew that the Cavaliers were going to turn into what they turned into this year. So, I don't think this is going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination with this first round. I think it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a knockdown, drawn-out battle. I think it will go seven. I don't think it's
really
going to. Really? I do. Really do. I just have a feeling it will. Unless somebody gets hurt, you know, on either team that is of significance, but this is where you find out whether Knicks have been just toying with us all year long, or are they the team that we think that can win a championship. I personally appreciated their hustle this year, appreciated the fact that Mikal Bridges ended up playing all 82 games, which I think is a real testament to him, and he's done it for 7 years in a row. I think that's great, and I think that's the kind of attitude that you want, but this is not going to be easy, and again, they're the Knicks, so they come in with all this hype around them. And don't think for a moment that a team like Detroit isn't thinking like, hey, we just beat these guys 3 out of 4 times.
No, absolutely. And, you know, that's a scary first-round opponent with a team that you feel has got nothing to lose. I mean, they're not supposed to win this series, but they're so tough. That, you know, they are the team that Knicks fans wanted this team to be more like from a toughness standpoint. But I still think that the talent is going to be talent disparity is going to be too much for the Pistons to handle. But, I mean, right now, if I had to look forward and try to handicap this thing, I think the Knicks win this series in 5 or 6 and then end up losing to the Celtics in 5 or 6. I mean, that's where I kind of am with them right now, unfortunately. But that can change. I mean, if they go out and just wax the Pistons and then everything we ever wanted this team to be comes out because they're finally at the playoffs, then I'll feel a little bit differently about them. But, you know, I heard this cut from Tibbs as I was driving in. Anthony Gallo was playing. He's filling in for C-Mac for a couple days this week. And like it was the most alarmed I'd heard Tibbs the entire year. And he's basically going, you know, he goes, you know, we got to get this stuff fixed. And he goes, well, and the guy goes, well, what do you have to get fixed? And he goes, everything. We got to fix it quick. And I'm like, what? Well, where did that come from?
Well, maybe he's putting like a little bit of pressure on his players. And, you know, he knows internally what they do well and what they don't do well. And what they don't do well is they don't defend three-pointers well. And if they're playing against these teams that are going to be shooting well, then they're going to have problems. And I think that's one of the things that he's probably talking about, amongst other things that he sees that maybe the, you know, we as the fans don't see it as quite as much. And I think it's a little bit of hustle. I think it's switching on defense. I think his number one problem is the way they play defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably frustrating as hell for him because that's been his MO his entire career as a coach. And we talked a little bit about this, while you were out, but it's just the reality of the situation. I don't think Tibbs deserves to be fired by any stretch, and I'm not in any way at this point calling for his job. I mean, if they end up losing the first round series, it's going to be a conversation about it. But it's not so much that, you know, if they lost this series or got waxed in the second round by the Celtics, I wouldn't say it's because Tibbs is a bad coach. But sometimes in the NBA, like the style that he coaches doesn't fit the roster he has.
Let me just explain something to you. The Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
Just fired Mike Malone and the GM.
That's right.
With 3 games left to go in a regular season, and they're the 4th seed, I believe, out in the West.
Yeah, I mean,
they
won a championship a couple years ago.
And he was a championship coach. And, you know, you hear Jamal Murray talking about Mike Malone saying that he always had my back. He always picked me up. And it seemed like Jamal Murray really liked the coach. But for some reason, the coach and the GM didn't seem to be getting along out there. Maybe it was the GM wanted certain players playing and Malone didn't want to play those players. And then in the midst of it all, it seemed like everybody had to pick one side or the other with inside the organization. And then Kroenke sees that and says, you know, we're just going to get rid of both of you. And we're going to try to clean this up. We're going to try to make everybody happy. And it's going to be really interesting to see what they do in the playoffs, given what just happened to them.
Yeah. I mean, you had 2 teams with winning records going to the playoffs fire their coach at the end of the regular season, which is unheard of. I mean, 3 things that happened this year is unheard of. The Luka trade, which is something that we'd never really seen with a superstar that came out of nowhere like that, and then 2 coaches fired with teams that are going to the playoffs.
It's crazy.
So
you told me that they lost to the Detroit Pistons, somebody's losing their job. Just like, you know, as much as Peter Laviolette, you know, led this team to the President's Trophy last year and everything else, for whatever reason, and it started week 1, and it could have been a series of events that took place last year that bled into this season for the Rangers to end up, you know, flat on their face and not make it back to the playoffs after being the President's Trophy winner, won by, I think, 4 or 5 teams in the history of the league to obviously have that distinction bestowed upon them, which is what you would not want. But and the coach kept saying, well, we got to fix this. Well, what the F are you doing? You're the coach.
Yeah.
And then if your coach, if your message is not translating to the players, the ownership will see it. You know, Leon Rose will see this. I mean, I'm an advocate for Tom Thibodeau. I like him. And I've always liked him since the first day he got here. And I really thought he got more out of this team than you could have asked any other coach, especially after the coaches we had prior to him.
Yeah, I mean, and this was it. They went all in. This was the roster they thought could win a championship. They waited and waited and waited with the picks. Then they struck with Mikal Bridges. And then they ended up going and getting Karl Anthony Towns. And now that they're locked in and there's contracts and OG and Towns and Brunson and everything else, you know, it's going to be very difficult to shake up the roster and make it better from a talent standpoint because of that. So what do you do in that situation? You make a coaching change. But I got to see how it plays out. But there's no doubt that he is not Teflon at all.
No, he's not. And I would say if they could have kept Hartenstein and got rid of Mitchell Robinson, it would have been better. But
they couldn't. Yeah, it was just the wacky, stupid NBA rules where there's some players you're allowed to pay more than the rest of the league does with the bird rights. And in this particular case, the Knicks could only pay him up to a certain point and another organization could pay him more, which I don't understand at all. And if the Knicks were allowed to pay him as much as they wanted to, he'd probably still be here. But yeah, I mean, and you have to trade something to get something with Towns and DiVincenzo. You know, he ends up going. But yeah, Hartenstein was a...
If they could have hit Hartenstein and DiVincenzo somehow and acquired Towns... That would have been something. That really would have been the team. That, I think that would have been a team that we all would have sat here and said, they got a real chance because there's going to be some grit that's associated with that team. Now, I think Josh Hart has all the grit in the world, and I think that Mitchell Robinson, when healthy, can be a force on defense and on the boards. But I just, I don't know. Those two players in particular, losing them from last year's team created a different dynamic with this team.
And for me, it's about the players. I know for you, you're looking at one guy in particular.
I am. And I've been looking at Tom Thibodeau for a long time here. To me, you know, I'm happy you used the word pressure as quickly as you did. See, to pressure, when you look at the word pressure, to me, it's very easy to define. I think sometimes it gets stretched, and, you know, the boundaries or the definitions can get can be a little fluid. But to me, pressure is if you fail to do X, Y, and Z, then there will be a tangible punishment. Now, the other ones on this team, whether it's a Jalen Brunson, all right. I mean, if Jalen Brunson fails, Jalen Brunson's still the captain. If Karl Anthony Towns has a rough series, he still has a couple of years to go guaranteed, still a mainstay on this team. Tom Thibodeau is a terrific coach, and I've got great respect for him. He entered the NBA in 89. He's been a head coach for a while. He's also going to be 68 years old next year. The window for the Knicks is not nearly as wide as many people think that it is. It's just not. I hear people talk about this imaginary Knicks window, 4 years, 5 years. Does Karl Anthony Towns look like he's got five more years in that body? They already runs up and down the court like he's 35 some nights. I know he's had a good year. He's very, very good. I don't think he's going to really be an absolute difference maker for a couple of years. So, or as long as we need him to be. I think it's a two-year window max. I am not messing. I do think the Knicks will win. I do. I think it will be tough. I think it will be physical. I think they will grind out the requisite four wins. But if they do not win this series, I could not bring Tom Thibodeau back. I can't do it.
You see, I'm not going to go there yet. First of all, I think the Knicks are winning in five. I think a lot of people are overblowing how good Detroit is and underestimating how good the Knicks are. But we were talking about this a little bit before the show. If the Knicks don't, I mean, I can't remember a first-round series that there was this amount of pressure. Even in the 90s, it was like a foregone conclusion the Knicks were going to win those first-round series. The pressure didn't start to build until you got deeper in the postseason. The first postseason win against Cleveland a few years back, it was more, okay, let's see if they could actually get one. And they did. Last year would have been, it was a hard fought. It would have been obviously a frustrating loss if they did lose to the Sixers, but it wouldn't have been as unacceptable as this would be. The offseason moves that they made, where this team is at talent-wise, they cannot lose this series. You're putting the pressure on Tibbs. I'm putting the pressure on the two superstars. Not only Karl Anthony Towns, because he's the new guy in town here and want to see if he could be a little more tough in the postseason. Regular season success is one thing. Postseason success is another. And what we saw with him in Minnesota, not going to be good enough here. The other thing is Jalen Brunson. I know Jalen Brunson doesn't get criticized at all. At some point, if the Knicks can't get over the hump and beat the best teams, or if they were to have a disappointing first round and lose to a team that they are better than, then I do think it's on Jalen Brunson. He's the captain. We heard about Zerbiak's comment saying that maybe there's a fracture in that locker room. Well, if the captain can't fix something that might be wrong in the locker room, and I don't know, I'm just going based off of what Wally says, who knows a lot more than I do about the makeup of that locker room. But to me, that's on the captain. Jalen Brunson is the leader here. We know about his deficiencies defensively. If the Knicks somehow, and I don't think that they will, I think they're going to win this series in five. If the Knicks somehow were to lose this series, I wouldn't focus on Tibbs. I would go after Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns.
Okay, now go after them, you mean just in terms of verbally, you know, rip them
I mean,
or whatever.
I mean, criticize them or blame them.
Okay, no, I would criticize them as well. See, the difference, I think what we're saying here is that you're not going to move Jalen Brunson. You're not going to move Karl Anthony Towns. You're not going to move Mikal Bridges. And if you do move Mikal Bridges, who, by the way, I would be open to moving, but if you ever did, well, you sit here saying, you gave up five first-round picks, so you moved them right away, and he's got a $24 million guarantee next year, and then they've got to decide if they want to extend them, which I imagine when you give up that kind of draft capital, you would be inspired to do. Yeah, I would absolutely get on their star players, but to me, the only thing that could change, should change, would change would be the head coach. Let me ask you this, Sal. So coming into the season, after last year, all right, OG got hurt, Brunson was banged up, Mitch got hurt against the Sixers. We know what transpired. And they got shellacked game seven at the Garden. Very disappointing end to a very awesome season. I remember coming in studio the next day, standing up, and actually giving the Knicks a standing ovation when they lost in the second round, which is very...
At home.
I know. Right. Very counter to what me and all of us in New York think, because that's not good enough. That's not the championship. But the circumstances led me there, and I thought that they deserved that, and I thought they earned that respect. So that's how I responded to last year. Now we come into this year, and whether it's, you know, every sports book, you know, every analyst, hey, Knicks are on the short list to win a championship. Knicks are among the two or three, four best teams in the NBA. Knicks are this, Knicks are that, Knicks are this, Knicks are that. Let me ask you this. Have the Knicks looked like a championship team once this season? I mean, for me, the answer is no.
No, I mean, but I still think they have championship talent. I think
that's a greater indictment on Tom Thibodeau. They do have championship talent, but they haven't looked like a championship team. Why?
Yeah, I mean, look, didn't Leon Rose amass this roster? Why are we focusing on Tibbs and all the pressure is going to be on him? And I'm not saying that that's not going to be the case. I think that you were right. I would not do that. I would put the pressure on the players themselves. Leon Rose brought... Nobody really knocked the moves. I know some people were saying, oh, too many picks for Bridges. I like the move. I thought the Bridges was a good final piece here, along with Karl Anthony Towns. I love the upgrade in talent. Now we're going to see what these players are made of. I'm not even going to Bridges because I don't think he's going to register enough. We know what he is, at least in year one with the Knicks. It's not going to register enough, so I'm going at the top guys. I think there's got to be pressure on their stars. Ultimately, if the Knicks don't win a championship or they fall short and lose in the first round, do you think it's the fault of the head coach or the fault of their star players not being good enough?
I think it's both, but I don't think that you can turn over this roster enough to satisfy the need to change what you have to change. The easiest thing would be to change the coach. Well,
okay, fair enough. That's the easiest thing to do.
But I also think it would be the right thing.
Okay, that's where we disagree.
No, for sure. Okay, so think about this. Let's go to the NFL for a sec, right? So before Andy Reid popped through, before Coach Cower popped through, remember he lost a bunch of AFC championship games at home. So if you're an NFL head coach and you constantly win 10, 11, 12 games, but you never get to the Super Bowl, hell, you don't even get to the conference championship game, and you're a couple of years away from being 70 years old. I'm not to age people out. That's not my thing. You know that. But you are what you are, and Tom Thibodeau is going to be 68 next year. If that profile or the resume that Tom Thibodeau has was an NFL coach, you don't think we'd be sitting here saying, can't win the big one. I don't know. Maybe it's time to move in a different direction.
Maybe.
Why is that? Why can't we apply that to Tom Thibodeau?
You can. I don't know why you'd want to do that now.
Well, because I don't like the way they look this year.
Right.
I haven't liked the way they've looked at all this year. And I'm not saying that.
The window being smaller, you referenced that.
That's the other thing. If they were a young team and there was room for growth, I'd say, okay, maybe I have a little bit of a different evaluation, but maybe not, because all the same principles, the things about Tom Thibodeau that are just true would remain true. He's almost 70, and he hasn't really come close to winning a championship.
Do you think that the Knicks' biggest weakness is their head coach?
No.
Okay.
I don't. I'm going to be fair to Tom.
And that's
definitely not.
So we kind of agree in just saying it different ways here. I don't believe he is their biggest weakness. Therefore, I would not make a change even if they were to lose this first round. I understand the talk. I understand that it's likely. Ian Begley, we talked about that earlier in the week, made it sound like he thought Tibbs was safe no matter what, but if the Knicks lose in the first round or get beat up badly in a non-competitive second round, that there's going to be a conversation about making a change. I understand that, because then they're thinking, okay, well, we have the roster that we wanted. The only thing we could do is change the coach. That doesn't mean that it's the right thing. I believe that if the Knicks don't win the championship, it's not going to be because of their head coach not being good enough. Mm-hmm. It's because their star players aren't good enough.
Okay, I'm going to even grant you that to an extent. Now, I don't think Tom Thibodeau's had a good year. I don't like the way sometimes the way he distributes minutes is odd. And not just that he buries guys into the ground. I'm talking about, you know, over the years since he's gotten here. And I'm not going to bore you with some of the minutia, but yeah, I think, you know, I think you guys know this. Like, his substitution patterns are odd, and they've always been a little bit odd. I have not been the minutes police with Tom Thibodeau because, you know, I, like you, I think we're old school. Hey, you make a lot of money, sack up, play 35 minutes a night, play 82 games a year as much as you can, and get after it. But while I will meet you halfway on the road and say, no, he's not their biggest problem, and if they do lose the first round or an ugly second round series, that it's more on the superstars, I give you that concession slightly, but my retort is, You can't do anything with the superstars because of the contracts and the things right. that you did. So you got to do something. Sal, let me say, there is no way, no chance, zero, that the Knicks, if they lose this series, that they can run it back with Tom Thibodeau. The fans would not accept it. I would certainly not accept it. It would be the wrong move. You're wasting time. The question would be, how much evidence do you need? And it's fluid, but in his case, how much evidence do you need to accrue that maybe he's just not a championship coach?
Okay, that's a great question. So what have you seen so far with the Knicks that would make you think that that's not the case?
Well, it's not just the Knicks, Sal. He never won with the Bulls either, and he never won with Minnesota.
Okay,
Minnesota got better when he left.
But I can't worry about that. I'm worried about what he's done with the Knicks.
It's
been one of the best head coaches in the history of the franchise.
What does that mean? The Knicks franchise has been trash.
No, for a long time, yeah, he's one of the best coaches ever in their franchise history.
He's better than Jeff Hornacek. All right, no, great.
I mean, you want to name the other 50?
Red Holtzman, Pat Riley, Jeff Van Gundy. I just mentioned the three good coaches in 40 years.
Then who?
Honestly, maybe Mike D'Antoni.
Oh, come on.
I'm saying maybe.
As far as being a Knick head coach.
Maybe.
All I'm saying
is
that
the first three.
If the Knicks were to fall short in the first round, it would be the first time that Tibbs has done something wrong or come up short with the Knicks. I'm not saying that the loss to the Heat a couple years ago in the second round, that was annoying. Also, there were injuries, so there's also circumstances.
And Randall didn't make shots. I get that part.
Since he has been here, he has exceeded expectations almost every single step of the way.
Except this year.
Well, and now this year, it's a different challenge because you're bringing in two big personalities and big players into a team that was already built with their foundation trying to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You bring in Karl Anthony Towns, you bring in Bridges, you're trying to make that fit. You got Brunson being the captain of the team, trying to see how everybody could gel together. You got guys being hurt. You know, Mitchell Robinson wasn't here for the year. Brunson gets hurt at times. You know, Anunoby banged up, whatever it may be. They were not 100% whole in the regular season. And then the chatter starts about, 0-8, 0-10 against teams that had a winning record. That's the only blemish on Tibbs. We're talking about a regular season record versus the top, how many teams in a league? Three? Because the Knicks are fourth.
Yeah, three.
They're the fourth best team in the league. Like, there's really the only question mark to me about Tibbs is not if he's a good coach or not. It's, do you believe he could be a championship coach?
No.
And he's right now, he's got the team with the fourth best, or whatever they are.
The fourth or fifth.
Okay, in the league.
Yeah.
He's built this team up from the ground up, different variations, iterations of this team.
Yep.
I want to see what happens in the postseason, but even if they fell short in the first round, I would still give him into next season to see how they respond, then maybe consider making
it. Okay, I understand what you're saying. I do. I just don't. I don't agree. I think that there is something to be said. I think he's a great builder. I think he is a great nurturer and fostering of an identity when you don't have one. You know, like when you're just a rudderless franchise, I think you hire Tom Thibodeau, and within a month, you are more buttoned up, more defensively into it, and you play with pride and you play with purpose. That is undeniable. Tom Thibodeau, what he does well, he does really well. Now, this is a little bit of an early read, at least for this team, and I did this early in the season, but it's not an early read for his career. I think where I jump off the Tom Thibodeau bandwagon is that I don't believe he has a next level.
Right.
I don't believe he's a championship coach because I've seen enough evidence to tell me that he's not. He's not 45, not 50, not 52. He's 68 years old, been coaching for a long time. Now, Marv Levy coached for a long time. He never won either. But Marv coached forever. Parcells was doing it for a while. Belichick doing it for a while. It's not about Lombardi. Not an age thing. It's just watching him go about his craft. I don't believe that when the Knicks step on the court with a team comparable than they are, or comparable to their talent, or even slightly above, that he is the kind of coach that is going to coach you to a 7-game series win. I felt that with Pat Riley. You know, I felt that with others, that Parcells in this big game with the Giants and even the Jets. I do not feel that with Tom Thibodeau. I have never felt that with Tom Thibodeau. And until they actually win the championship, which, spoiler, this team will not, I will never feel that with Tom Thibodeau.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. 888-808-1019. How much of your opinion on wanting to move on from Tibbs? And by the way, if your take is that you don't believe he's a championship head coach, then you should move on regardless. if the Knicks lose in the second round, even if it's competitive, in my mind, that would be close to, all right, well, they kind of maxed out because the Celtics are just better. And again, I don't need to bypass the first round, but then your argument should be, well, Tibbs is still not the
guy. He's still not a championship coach. Well, I know what, okay, again, I'm
well, and then just to finish that, how much of your wanting to move on from Tibbs is because of who's available?
Well, listen, the Malone thing adds serious intrigue for me. I've said that. I've even gone so, now I don't think Pat Riley would ever do this. I would look to initiate a trade, which you could do, for Eric Spoelstra. I mean, that Heat version, that iteration's done. Those are things, two tangible moves that I would make. One would be easy. You just hire Malone. The other thing would be a lot tougher, but it doesn't mean you can't investigate it. I think that Tom Thibodeau, if he was to lose a very competitive second round series, that would show me enough evidence that maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
I will leave the door slightly ajar to being wrong. Leave the door open to being wrong, but I think there's enough evidence that I'm really right here so far with Tom, but geez, I hope I'm not. But if they lose in six or seven, listen, if it's Knicks and Celtics in the Eastern Conference semis, Knicks are minus 450 going into the Pistons series, the Celtics would be minus 280, something like that. Those are big odds. And when they're that big, that tells me the Knicks aren't supposed to win. But if it's a competitive series and I see some things out of Tom that I don't think he's going to necessarily bring out, then I would be willing to I'd certainly bring him back if he lost a seven game series to the Celtics. But I don't think he has those big game chops. I just don't.
They will get to a point, the Knicks franchise, along this run here, where they feel that they have to make a change to try to get them to the next level. I would think that even after it, now they're going to disagree with me. They're going to agree with you. I personally would even give Tibbs I'd give him a pass in the postseason here, even if they lose the first round and see what happens next year.
No, how are you going to lose to the Pistons and say, let's roll this back?
No, I don't think they are.
So that's unacceptable.
But it's a total hypothetical. I don't think they are. You don't think they are either.
I think they might because he's got a contract for a couple of more years. I'm saying what I would do. I'm not convinced that they would move on from Tom Thibodeau if they lose this series.
I think they are going to, but I would see it out. And I think at the end of this run, whenever it may be, with a new head coach, with the same head coach with Tibbs, at the end of it, we're going to come back to, now again, this is going to be 3, 4, 5 years down the road, we're going to come back to the players that they had just weren't good enough, not the head coach. That's how I think it'll end up here. But again, who knows? And I think they're going to agree with you, the Knicks, that they're going to, before we get to that point, they're going to find out if it's the head coach or not. All right, we'll get back to your calls when we come back, 888-808-1019. Surfside iced tea and vodka. It's made with real premium stateside vodka, real brewed tea. I had a lot of these last year during the Knicks Sixers series that paid us off. Remember, a big bet there with Clem.
Celebratory. Hopefully these aren't, consoling drinks after this series.
No, you stop that. Matter of fact, I want to get Clem on the horn here. We got the Phillies coming to town, take on the Mets in a 3-game series. I'd like to,
restock the cupboards.
Well, come on, it's pool season, Clem. I'm going to need some more Surfsides. All the flavors are great. They're only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, no carbonation. You could drink them all day long. You don't feel that bloat. If you've tried the product, you can barely tell there's any alcohol in it. It's so good. It's dangerous. Look for the can with the sunset stripe, sunshine in a can, Surfside iced tea and vodka. I got something you're going to like right here. I don't know if you're going to like it, but it's something interesting to discuss as it pertains to the Knicks.
Okay.
Ian Begley, he was on, I think this is from his show on SNY.TV, The Putback. Either way, this is from SNY Knicks videos. Begley saying, it was from his show, The Putback. Stakes are high for Tom Thibodeau entering the playoffs. If the Knicks beat Detroit and are competitive in the second round, Begley assumes Thibodeau will be fine. The analysis after the postseason will include assessment of Thibodeau, though. And would the Knicks head coach survive a subpar playoff performance? All depends on how Rose and Dolan view the season. He's also under contract for 4 more seasons. Earlier, now, this is Begley's words. This is where it really gets good here. Earlier in the season, Begley thought Thibodeau would have, he would survive any playoff shortcomings and be back next season. But that's not the case anymore. Begley thinks anything is on the table if the Knicks struggle in the playoffs, including a coaching change. And by struggle, he means either ouster in the first round or non-competitive against Boston in the second round.
As it should be. I've been saying that for a while. That's exactly what.
4 more years.
Now, that's the one thing that's the curveball from Dolan's perspective. But just independent of the contractual obligation that they have to Tom Thibodeau for almost half a decade. Wow. I don't know the appetite by Dolan to absorb that and then hire another big name coach. Like, let's face it, they fire Tom Thibodeau, which I'm open to, and I hate to use the word fire because it almost seems unfair because he's done such good things, but I do think he's got a ceiling. I don't believe it's a championship ceiling. I don't like the way the Knicks have looked this year. We've got to get into some stuff while the Zerbiak said. We'll do that a little later in the show as well. Like, there's a lot of smoke around these Knicks, and if they get pushed around by the Pistons and win and it's difficult, if they lose, forget it. He's gone. If they win and it's not really convincing, that's another little discussion. If they win kind of easy and then they get punked by the Celtics, that's another discussion. Listen, when you have Mike Malone floating out there, whose dad coached the Knicks, he was an assistant for a couple of years, NBA champion. I'm sorry. I mean, if Tom Thibodeau comes up short, I'm bringing in Mike Malone.
I think it's fair. The way Begley lays it out, the way we have discussed it, I think it's fair to at least evaluate all the options in the worst case scenario that the Knicks lose in the first round. Absolutely, you have to assess everything.
He's got
to
go.
In the event the Knicks win the first round and lose a non-competitive series to the Celtics, I still think it is fair to evaluate it because you're not looking at it like this guy's not good enough. You're looking at it as, okay, we have amassed this talent. We're at where we're at with the roster. What can we do to make this team better and make this team a championship team? So you should be assessing all things, including the head coach. But those are two pretty dire scenarios. Losing in the first round, which I don't expect that they will. Obviously, anything's possible.
No, I think they'll win.
Getting smoked in a non-competitive series, which I do think is possible. I don't think it's likely. I still think that the Knicks will be competitive against the Celtics. But if it's not, I would understand assessing everything, including Tibbs as a head coach, and seeing if they think they could do better, whether it's Malone or somebody else. I don't believe that they can do better than Tibbs. At least I'm not at that point yet, even with a non-competitive loss to the Celtics.
I definitely do. I think Malone's better. I think Spoelstra's better. Not that you would ever get down and strike a deal with Pat Riley, or maybe more specifically, Pat Riley wouldn't strike a deal with you. But I think there's maybe an expiration point on Spoelstra down there in Miami. I know he just got divorced. I don't know what he's going through. The team's obviously not really good. So
you'd want him at this point?
I would take him at a heart. I think Spoelstra's
over Malone?
Yes, I would.
So it would be Spoelstra and then Malone.
Malone 2, and then probably retaining Tom Thibodeau 3.
Man, I don't know if I feel, I know this is stupid, but I feel like dirty about the Heat. I don't want anything to do with Miami Heat.
I mean, listen, once Roger Clemens came from the Red Sox and Wade Boggs, I mean, that goes out the window. I don't care about that stuff anymore. I want a guy that is up to the championship task. And listen, Sal, whether it's a little early for some, I get that. I really respect Tom Thibodeau. He's had a terrific career. But you don't make the moves the Knicks made and then have an early ouster or just look incompatible without reevaluating what the future is going to look like. I think and I don't need to go through the three scenarios that you went through, but if one of those were to occur in an unfavorable manner, and they don't evaluate everything A to Z, then ownership's not doing its job.
And just to be clear, the difference between you or me saying it versus Begley is Begley's reporting it.
Oh, yeah.
We're giving our opinion. He's reporting that what he once thought was, oh, Tibbs will be fine, is not necessarily true. If it is one or two of those worst-case scenarios, then it is going to be on the table for discussion.
And very quickly here, Sal, a little PSA to our buddies Carl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges. What's today? It's 11:35 on Wednesday, game Saturday at 6. You got 2.5 days of freedom. Enjoy yourself. Because the microscope that is about to come Carl Anthony Towns' way, and we just talked about Tom Thibodeau, that's obvious. Carl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges. Now, I'm not saying they're not going to play well, but they cannot hide if they don't. Their life is about to change in terms of a criticism or an evaluation. You thought you took some heat up in Minnesota when you bombed in the Western Conference Finals?
At least one.
Play well with the Knicks. We'll see what happens. But let's get to Mikal Bridges. You are a professional athlete. And yesterday, Mikal Bridges was about to play in his 82nd game of the season, something he has done in every season since he came into the league, including a bonus game 2 years ago where he played in 83 because he got traded in the middle of the season, and the Nets had, you know, kind of the extra game after Phoenix. Mikal Bridges starts the game to keep his streak alive, commits a foul 6 seconds in, and then comes out of the game. Mikal.
Yeah, that's bad.
What are we doing, bro?
Who else? Yeah.
I apologize because I'm not a good reporter. I'm still learning how to be a reporter. Bridges was in that room. I should have confronted him and said, what's your plan for today's game?
Oh, this was before?
This was before the game I spoke to these guys. And I didn't do it, and I apologize. I'll be better the next time I'm in the room, though there's a good chance I'll never be in the Knicks locker room ever again after, you know, talking about it. But, Tiki, as a professional athlete, can we call the Mikal Bridges streak for what it's worth, Fugazi?
No.
You can't.
He played. He suited up.
Tiki.
I'm trying to find the total minutes.
He played 6 seconds! I was there! And I admit, you Knicks fans and you Net fans, you're a bunch of frauds. Because when Bridges committed the foul, you know what I did? I'm going to give you a little recreation. Okay? Get the dump button ready.
0 minutes it stays.
Yeah, 6 seconds. I stood up and said, this is BS! What a fraud! This guy's a fraud! How are you guys okay with this? Mm. Everybody gave me a blank stare like I was right. Speaking a different language.
No, look, I'm
gonna, and then I sat down.
I'm going to agree with you because here's why.
Thank you.
So I wanted to see the box score. Obviously, I did not watch this game.
You missed a lot of fun.
All right. But I wanted to see the box score. And the only way it matters and counts, in my estimation, is if you record some kind of statistic.
You committed a foul.
That's not a stat.
Well, that's not a stat.
Especially if it was intentional, right? It, not like, oh, I was defending and I got in the way and I just block, whatever. There's not a stat. There's not a shot attempt. There's not a turnover. There's not a block. There's not a steal.
Because he didn't play.
There's not an assist. I know. So I'm agreeing with you.
Thank you.
This is Fugazi. This is Fugazi.
Thank you. No, I agree because this would be very similar to...
I would have rather of him gotten first possession, just take a shot. Miss it, come out of the game.
Or how about this?
That would have sufficed for me.
How about this, Mikal? Either play the basketball game because you want your streak to continue, or don't. Mm. But this is BS. And I respect the only talk show host I heard call out. Now, I haven't listened to every second, so everyone may have called him out. But the only person I heard call out Mikal Bridges is honestly the voice of the New York sports fan here at WFAN. Al Dukes. Al called him out. And Al's right. This is Fugazi, and Mikal Bridges should apologize.
Malachi Corley.
He did not even record a plus-minus.
Of course he did.
That's bad.
6 seconds in, he commits a foul. Tommy is the voice of Knicks fans here at WFAN. I know you're an honorable guy. I think you've been honorable all season long. Can you call him out for this crap, please?
Absolutely not. What? So if he played 2 minutes, grabbed one rebound?
Yeah, that's play.
How about being rewarded for being out there every single day, last game of the year, glorified preseason game, go out there,
okay,
tip
but what
your
does
cap.
He get for this?
The streak.
I know, but what? Okay, so let's say he has this streak for another 4 years. And what does he get for it?
I don't know, feather in his cap? I assume it must matter to him, because otherwise he would have said, no, I'm not playing today. I'm going to sit my fanny on the bench.
Is this going to be a part of his Hall of Fame resume?
It might.
I'm legitimately asking. What benefit does this give anybody?
No, I think we do that, whether it's, you know, I'm not comparing it, but Cal Ripken or even Eli or even Josh Allen, who did this the last week.
Who's got the all-time record in NBA history for most consecutive games played? You don't know the
George
answer.
George Mikan?
It's not George Mikan, and you don't know the answer, and that's not an insult on you. It's, well, maybe it is. You should know it's AC Green, but also that it's an irrelevant record.
Yes.
That's the point. So what do you get for this? Nothing. Especially because we can all see through it. This is the third time this guy has done this. Third time.
Well, I just don't understand what you say. Like, what is he?
I'm glad you asked. We have his voice. You want to hear him?
Yeah.
You want to hear from Mikal?
Yes, I do want to hear from Mikal now. But I'm talking when he's 10 years retired or 20 years retired. What's he saying? Oh, I never missed a game. Is that what he's saying?
I guess so.
Damn,
I failed. I apologize to the audience. I failed you as a reporter. I went in there selfishly to ask OG Anunoby about being a Met fan.
I don't think any of us knew that you were even going to be the reporter.
Oh, my apologies.
So you don't need to apologize.
Well,
to anyone.
I'm hard on myself. Mikal was right there. And I should have called him out. Why am I wasting my time calling Josh Hart out? He's a good dude, honestly. We all like Josh Hart. Bridges is a fraud, man. He's a fraud.
By the way, fantastic haircut, Evan. I'm glad that we're on SNY now.
Oh, thank you.
Everybody can see Evan's beautiful haircut. Did you do that before Aunt Juliet? Was this before the date?
No, this was this morning because my family's out of town, so I just have a lot of downtime. So I decided to go get a haircut.
Oh, nice.
So that by the time my wife comes back in a week, the hair will grow in and she'll think I'm sexy.
Nice.
Because I don't know if she'll love this haircut. I think it got a little bit too short, but it happens sometimes. But thank you, Tiki.
I think it looks good.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Nice groomed beard.
Yeah.
Looking the part.
I'm looking sexy today. Thank
Definitely.
You. Yesterday, when I was in the Nick locker room, I looked like a mess.
Well, that's why OG walked away from it.
Probably.
And the haircut has also brought a little red back to Evan's hair, too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate you acknowledging that. Let's hear from Mikal Bridges, who was asked after the game about the fact that he only played 6 seconds. Why not play more, Mikal?
Yeah, I mean, they just asked to see what I want to do, pretty much. It's really for young guys, you know, because I could play a quarter, play a half quarter, but you know, it's taken away from young guys, Pac and Kev, you know, guys that play well today too, but it's just for their minutes to come out there. You know, Landry coming out there playing more. So it's more just taking minutes away from him, which is just like, you know, I've been taking a lot of minutes all 81 before, prior. So I think just give them guys a chance, give them a shot to play and, you know, play the right way.
So Mikal Bridges somehow spun this as if, hey, I'm doing a favor for the young guys. I can't take minutes away from them. How about you don't play then to continue a Fugazi record?
Meanwhile, Landry Shamet played 40 minutes and didn't get the start.
That's right.
Not that matters either.
Look, I understand that maybe people don't care about Mikal Bridges' streak, and that's fine. But the idea that this happened is so fraudulent. And the only reason I was okay with it 2 years ago with the Nets, because I remember when it happened, I was a little bothered by it, and then I calmed myself down, was because it was game 83, okay? Mm. They had a bonus game because of the trade. And so I remember at least rationalizing, I don't love it, but he played the 82, so he fulfilled his requirements, so I'll just give you 5 seconds in game 83. But the more I think about it, that's fraudulent, too, because you didn't play in the game. It's fraudulent.
Was it more than 6 seconds?
No, it was the same thing. It's the same crap.
Fugazi.
And all you
but
fans.
But that one doesn't matter because you could get rid of it. You could asterisk it, and it doesn't mean anything.
Right, because it was an 83rd game, we could rise. I'm just annoyed at all you Nick and Net fans. That place was filled yesterday. Why am I the only one screaming and yelling like a lunatic? Mm. It's because the rest of you didn't give a rat's ass. You're there because it was a cheap ticket to watch a basketball game. And that was the energy in the building. The energy was dead. Mm. Oh, my God. I'm used to that with the Nets, but I thought you Knicks fans would bring some juice to the building. Meanwhile, you're falling asleep halfway through the game. You weren't excited to see McCullers?
No. It was a glorified preseason game. If this matters to him and him only, that's his right. I just don't understand, like, would it matter if he went in for 6 seconds, 30 seconds, a half, a quarter?
Because it's a fake streak, bro. That's all it is.
How's it a fake streak?
Because it's not real.
Playing the game.
Well, it's going to be talked about like this, impressive thing.
Hold on. In a league where everybody gets on these players for, you know, dressing up in their pajamas, Ben Simmons, others, Zion, and don't feel like playing every other night, a guy who actually plays every single game.
He didn't play yesterday.
He plays every game of the season,
though. He didn't play yesterday.
He plays every single game.
Great.
And he could have played a full game yesterday.
Well,
why would he do that?
Well, maybe
and
if he
got hurt, somebody would have been like, well, why is he playing in this game?
Maybe if he wasn't afraid of contact and, you know, not fight
now
through screens.
We're getting to it.
Maybe he wouldn't be able to play all 82 games. But since he's afraid of contact, why the hell not?
Yeah, it's because he's afraid of contact. That's why he's out there every single night. It's a league where nobody plays. And I love the NBA, but let's call it like it is. How much load management or guys don't play? And this guy plays every single night.
Well, he didn't
play
every single game because he didn't play yesterday. He didn't play yesterday. Don't tell me, but I was there. I watched the game. You probably watched some of it. He did not play. Don't tell me he played because it's insulting my freaking intelligence.
He was ready and able to play in the game.
He didn't play.
He went into the game for 6 seconds, fouled, and went out.
Tommy, I could have played the 6 seconds then. The Nets could run a promotion next year. Let the loser season ticket holders start a game, and they could do the same crap. Win the tip-off, I'll commit a foul. Goodbye.
So you look,
I played. I played as much as Mikal
played.
The
only fraud here is you because you looked the other way when he was on your basketball team and he was your savior. But now that it's the Knicks and if it's your narrative, you're going to call him soft.
Listen, I just acknowledged that I didn't like it at first, but I understood it because it was game 83.
No, you understood it because he played on your team.
No, I didn't like it when he did it.
Your rationalization was fraudulent.
No,
so it was an extra game? Who cares? He still went in for 3 seconds.
But did I not just go through this?
I didn't
like it.
But he didn't have the same energy, Teak, and he didn't call him soft, and he didn't talk about playing through contact.
It was a fake game for him.
Yeah, I couldn't talk about it on the radio because people didn't want me to talk about the Nets. Now it's the Knicks.
You
could have
tweeted
about
it or do an Evan Roberts podcast or whatever you had at the time.
You don't think I did?
I have no idea.
I did, so apologize.
Okay, did you do it on the radio?
By the way, here's
for something like this, people care about it. It doesn't matter what the team is, because people care about stuff like this.
I can't talk about the Nets on the
radio. But it doesn't have to be about the Nets. It could just be about a player and a streak. By the way,
I've got to ask the lottery to the 76ers. You can talk about the Nets.